And the State of the Union is...
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure. True international effort to pressure. True international effort to pressure.
This is the news, according to me. Go get him. Go get him. Go get him. I think that's what he said. The very final words of a resounding speech. Go get him. Yeah. Not it's pathetic, folks. This is pathetic. I've been having some interesting dreams lately. I can't really process them all. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I think there's some deep, profound meaning. They're very vivid dreams, but they're kind of wacky. And I don't know, maybe it has something to do with that 10-year-old V8 Fusion energy drink I had yesterday. I don't know. Actually, I was having those dreams before that, but so I'm not sure what it has anything to do with it. I'm sure you want my take on what is in my cup this morning. I have a strawberry banana V8 Fusion. Not one of my favorites, I have to say. It has a little bit too much of a candy taste to it. I'm not sure what it is about it. It's very strawberry, kind of not so much banana. It's just a little too strong on the strawberry. Almost reminds me of a candy. It's still good for you, but I guess, I don't know. Maybe it isn't, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a speech writer. You know, I had this thought this morning. I'd like to do the State of the Union address sometime. I would have gotten up there and just said, folks, every president has gotten up here and given you all kinds of fluff about where the country is. And they always say the State of the Union is strong. I'm just going to tell you, folks, I'm going to level with you here today. The State of the Union is not as, it's probably the furthest thing from strong that it's ever been in my lifetime. The media has polarized our nation to such a degree with constant rhetoric, spin, and narrative from both sides. You know, I'll give you that. But one side in particular has been so blatantly partisan. If they would use the same standards on the Biden family that they're using on the Trump family, some of these investigations that are going on with the Trump family and what's going on in New York right now is just absolutely, it's appalling. If they dug half as deep with half as much energy and fervor into half of the lives of the Biden family, they would all be in prison right now. Well, if the prosecutors would actually do anything. But they get away with this because it's not just a double standard. It's more than that. It's greater than that. So I don't know. And that's exactly what I would tell the American people. I would say this is where we're at, folks. You can continue to stand by your man, whichever side that is. Or we can take up the cause of making this the United States of America once again. Because frankly, I don't see it heading that direction. We are the closest thing to a civil war, certainly informationally, and in a Cold War, I would say. There are states, there are people actually talking about dividing up the states. Making states, you know, certain red states and blue states. I don't know how that's going to work. It kind of seems like it's just another one of their silly ideas. That's their answer for unity. That's their answer to unity is, you agree with us, and there'll be unity. We're going to unify America. All you have to do is agree with us and comply. And one of the statements that Biden said last night is, freedom always prevails over tyranny. Be careful there, Joe. Because you've got a whole bunch of people out here who want freedom. And we don't see that's what you're providing us. There's an individual on YouTube. I believe his name is... what is it called? Hive Mind? Leftist Hive Mind or Democrat Hive Mind? Something like that. It's really interesting. He was going on about it. He's a little bit radical. I think I subscribed to him once before, and I stopped subscribing to him because he was saying some stuff that I just didn't like. I just didn't like his style. I mean, it wasn't that he had any content that was bad. And I unsubscribed, but somehow one of his videos popped up again. On my, as I was watching one video, it was on the side. It was on one of the suggested videos. And I listened to it, and it was good. I subscribed to him again. I might have been that. Maybe I didn't unsubscribe. Maybe he just automatically got booted off. I'm not sure how that happened. But he has about 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, which by the way, my platform on YouTube, I have just given up on it. I've not done anything with my platform on YouTube. I had a YouTube platform at one time called The News According to Me or TNA to Me, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. And, It got destroyed. This was before shadow banning. It was even known that it was a thing. It started getting just like fewer and fewer viewings. And eventually, the subscribers, I had like, I don't know, it went way, way, way down to the point where all of a sudden I'd put out a video and zero watchers. Zero. How does that happen? Zero. Going from having, and my content didn't, the show didn't change that much. I mean, it was growing steadily over a course of time. And it was right around, I think it was around the 2014. Now, see, I had this channel a long time ago and didn't do anything with it. And I started it back up again kind of in, I don't know when it was, sometime in the, before the 2016 election, I think it was around 2014, end of 2014, something like that, right when the political thing started ramping up. Now, you watch, as I was saying yesterday, speaking of ramping up the political thing, after the SCOTUS, or SOTUS, I guess it is, State of the Union, SOTO address, this is now the launch of the political propaganda and lying and promises that you will hear all the way up until November. That's how this works. He said a bunch of stuff last night. And I'm even getting texts from people, even as we speak here. He's saying, we need to buy American. We're going to make sure that all steel is used by, Now, the problem here is the way they force, the way the left does this. See, they won't do this the way Trump did. They have a different way of doing. They don't negotiate deals with U.S. Steel. They're going to mandate certain things, and they're going to mandate other companies do the same. It's not just that the government's going to do this. It's going to be not for government contracts. It's going to be everybody has to do this, which is also not a good idea. Again, you're just bringing about stupid things. We got all these crazy people standing up and cheering every 5 minutes, every minute. I think there was like 91. Was there 91 or 70? Well, I can't remember. There was a standing ovation moments when the little sign went off and everybody was told to stand up and clap. Now, basically, there's a little signal that I don't know if you noticed or not. Usually the House Speaker or the Vice President will be in charge of making sure that the people clap when they're supposed to. And it's like they don't hold up a little cue card. Now, last night I noticed Nancy didn't tear up the speech and throw it down or anything. Because that's not breaking with decorum when the joint house is there to listen to the president of the United States speak on the State of the Union. Because Nancy Pelosi is a little 12-year-old. And I heard one of the pundits say, this is Joe Biden at his best. This is Joe Biden at his best. Now, he wasn't questioning. He was saying, this is Joe Biden at his best. He really did this and that. I'm glad we're helping the Iranian people. Bumbling and stumbling through so much of this speech and saying so many things that just are absolute abject lies. This much I do know. I hate saying the American people are whatever, because your politicians all the time say the American people are scared. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I hate to use the word hate, but I really do hate to use the word hate, even though I've used it 12 times in the last 10 seconds. But I hate being told how I feel from people in a bubble who have never talked to me. It doesn't set well with me. American people are scared. I want to. If he was in the room, I'd grab him by the throat and say, scared of what? What are you telling me I'm scared of, bub? It's just your perception of what you think is going on. You're trying to convince us all that the American people, the American people are scared. Oh, I guess we are. Oh my goodness, the American people are scared. Well, apparently you haven't been out to visit the American people. You want to talk about courageous people? There's courageous people in Ukraine. Sure there are. And these lily-livered people, they keep parading around in front of us all the time, telling us that that's America. I guarantee you, there is still a fiber in this nation. I guarantee you. There is a remnant in this country who is as much or more courageous as the people in Ukraine. They are willing to rise up and defend this nation from enemies, foreign and domestic. They understand the price of freedom. And they're sick and tired of blowhards up on the hill telling us how we should behave, what the state of our union is, how we should act and feel and talk and say, and what we should stick in our arm, what we should wear on our face for the greater good of society. Well, we are society. I don't know. I had a dream the other night. This one I do remember. And I'll share a little bit with you about what it is, if I can. I'm not going to go too far, because as I was thinking about this dream, I was kind of pondering on it. It was very difficult to get past some things that kind of overwhelm me sometimes. I get a little bit emotional. I lead worship quite often. I don't know if I've ever shared this with anybody on this show or not, but I'm not sure if I've ever said it. I do actually... I play guitar and sing, and I have a tendency to lead worship quite a few places around the area, in the region here. And it's an extreme honor and privilege when I'm asked to do so, and it's always, I'm not going to go down that road, because I will start to lose my... I'll turn into crybaby, what's his name, on the joint or the select committee, whatever it is. this dream about somebody said something about it. It wasn't somebody I necessarily disagreed with. I led with a song the other night that some people have a problem with one of the lines in the song. And actually, I did two songs actually that people struggle with. And one of the songs has a line in it, or particular, it's a bridge that everybody has always said, "Oh, I don't agree with that." It's a song by Matt Redman. It's called "Blessed Be the Name." Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. I think it's "Blessed Be the Name." And in the bridge, he has "You give and take away" is the words that people have a hard time with. So I added to the song, and I do this little thing where I sing a quick phrase before I do that bridge. I kind of, it's more or less spoken out, but I kind of sing it out. And I sing, "You give us freedom," or "You give us freedom, take away our chains. You give us healing, take away our pain. You give us honor, take away our shame. You give your son away to call us by your name." And then we sing, "You give and take away." And I've had more people tell me that has changed their entire outlook of that song. And they can sing it again. Because they just didn't have a big enough vision of what it is that God does. And so I have done what I can to help people get past that. The other song talks about "My sin was great, your love was greater." And it says, "So Jesus, you brought heaven down." They have a hard time with it. "You didn't bring heaven down." I don't know what they mean by that. What's the problem with that? And in my dream, I was confronted with that line. And I laid into it, and I started quoting things that Jesus said. And I could just almost feel the skin coming off of people's bodies, what I was saying. It was like this. There's this thing about the song police. I hope you feel really proud of yourself when you stand before God and say, "I kept people from singing this song because it was that line in there was not in the Bible." Well, good for you. Hope you get a little pat on the head when you get to heaven. I know it. I'm sorry. I'm just not being very gracious this morning with that. And I actually, that's a lot less, I guess I should say it's a lot more gracious than I was in my dream. The way I responded was just not like me at all, but something rose up in me that it let loose. No cussing, no swearing. But I'm not saying that there wouldn't have been a couple opportunities for some expletives in there, but I don't know how I got off on this subject, but the point is honesty and being aware of ourselves and, you know, this whole thing of self-awareness and understanding. Lincoln said it best, I think. "Let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved." Let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. Don't stand up there and give us platitudes and talking points and narratives and spin. Lay it out on the table. Sure, it might be shocking initially, but we'll deal with it. We can deal with it. Now we can work on it together and work through this instead of just, "I'm the greatest president that ever lived. Under my watch in the last 13 months, wages are at an all-time high." Yeah, and you're spending more because wages have not kept up with inflation. They're planning to push again for all kinds of promises for the little guy. $15 an hour minimum wage. That's on the table now. They're going to push for that now. They're probably going to push for, of course, now Joe has said there's not going to be any college. Before the election, he was bribing people with this idea that he was going to pay off college loans. Anybody with $10,000 of debt, up to $10,000, and anybody who makes less than $150,000 a year was going to get their student loans paid for, up to that amount. Probably going to be on a sliding scale of some kind. You know, if you make more than $20,000 a year, it goes down to, you know, $5,000. If you make $30,000 a year, it goes down to $1,000. And then it goes down $100 for every, you know, for up to $150,000, whatever. It's some kind of ridiculous thing. But now he's saying that's not going to happen. They're not even going to propose it. They're not going to put it on the table. Unless it gets closer to the election, they realize they got to pull out all the stops. I think they're going to be promising the moon and the stars and a bowl full of sugar. I think that they're going to be doing all of that in the upcoming election because they have to. I mean, I even got this one text by someone that just this morning said he sounded very Trumpian last night with what some of the things he was saying about, you know, America First and all this stuff. And what blows my mind, and this is, you have to understand it, and this he's avoiding these questions when he gets them from reporters about sanctioning Russian oil. Circleback, by the way, the other day, she said something. She had to go to a written statement, basically. She had to go to her little folder and read the statement that was in the folder. It was very clumsy because there weren't any uhs and ums in this folder, but she apparently stuck a few in there just so, because she had to, you know, she has to get those in there because that makes her, I don't know if she thinks that makes her sound smart or what. It seems to be part of this administration is all uhs and ums. But the question was, why are we not sanctioning Russian oil now? Well, because people in the private sector, that's all the private sector, buys. Unless we sanction it. So why don't you sanction it? Why don't you pull that trigger? Well, here's why. I'll guarantee you, here's why. Because they know what will happen to the price of gas coming into an election year. They have destroyed America's energy independence. And people don't want to have $6 a gallon of gas going into an election year. They know that, but guess what? We might have it anyway. With what's happening with the Russian ruble, the relationship between Russia and China, the continued effort for Putin to raise Ukraine, R-A-Z-E. The destruction that's happening there now. What they're trying to do is they're trying to surround the whole place and just, they need to have overwhelming force is what they're looking at. Now, I'm not a geopolitical military strategist. But what they have to do that. They have to, when there's overwhelming force. Sometimes it's the safest way to win a war. They realize they're done. Now, you can roll your trucks in there. You can roll your military in there. The military, they don't live there. You can have them stationed there and try to hold that city, and then you can put in your puppet regime leader of some kind. Install your own person in there. How long do you think that's going to last? There's this thing called the Wagner Group, and I'm not sure exactly. Let me see if I can find anything on it. I'm not sure how it's spelled. I don't know if it's spelled that way or not. I'll just look into, it's an ER. I thought it was OR. I had a buddy in grade school. His last name was Wagner, and spelled it with an O-R. There's a documentary. I'll probably have to watch some of this. I might just do that because, yeah, there's a documentary. I'll listen to that later on. And yeah, that's almost 2 hours long. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be looking into what that is. It's a Russian funded mostly thing. Don't be surprised if the CIA has actually paid them to do things as well. But it's a group of basically mercenaries. They're kind of a paramilitary organization that isn't directly tied to a government. Gee, what does that sound like? We also have those kinds of things. We do. We have groups out there that they're independent contractors that our alphabet soup organizations pay to do certain dirty work for us. I'm not saying it's just the way it's just the way the world is. And they do this stuff, and then they they're out there. There's a report. There's one report, and I don't know if this is true or not. There are at least 400 of them in Ukraine, probably in Kyiv. And they are under direction to take out Ukraine's leaders. The main thing is that they need to be able to take out Vladimir Zelensky. Now, understand, they're chipping away at all the parts of the country. At some point, you've got all the resources of Russia in there. I started talking about this yesterday. They're going to hold a siege. This is what they're doing right now. And I don't see any end to this. I don't think that Vlad is going to give this up. I think he's a tenacious individual who's on a mission that he feels entitled to. And I just don't think he's going to back out at all. It's not going to end well. The longer this goes on, it's not going to end well for anybody. And it is just a mess that has been stirred up. And I still don't understand what how he felt. This is he's treating this as if it's a preemptive strike. Have any parallels to what we did in Iraq? For those of you who served in Iraq, thank you for your service. And I am deeply sorry as an individual that our government sent you there under the pretext that it was a righteous strike, as Milley would say. There were a lot of good things done there. But the whole precept for us to be there, the whole idea that we were there for a just cause, George Bush said it out loud. He tried to kill my dad. That's where the motivation was to go to Iraq. We were not threatened. We were not a border country. They had no way of striking the United States from Iraq. There may have been some terrorist training type things going on there, but that's nothing like there was in Afghanistan. And in fact, if you really want to trace the money trail back, it actually goes back to the Saudis, but I'm not going to. There's factions there within that country as well. There are issues. So, and again, getting us having energy independence gets us untangled from so many of those webs. I personally, at the time we went into Iraq, I thought it was a just cause. A lot of people did. I I even talked to some soldiers who were in the reserves and who had served time there. I'd worked with them at that time. And they said they totally disagree with why we went to Iraq. And they were, you know, they were pro-America. They were, you know, very patriotic individuals, but they totally disagreed with our reasons for going there. And the more I have learned, the more I have to agree with them. I was totally wrong about going there. We never should have gone. Never should have gone there. We had thousands of America's finest killed, injured, maimed for life. And the reasons are still questionable. I don't know. I'm sure there's been a lot of good things done there. And there's been, you know, how many tens of thousands of people killed in the process. So there you go. Once again, we have Vlad doing his thing because of some personal reason, some personal issue thing going on there. And he feels justified in doing so. He says, as you know, in the words of Milley, it was a righteous strike. When Milley came out and said that with this look on his face, like, I'm going to be the general, I'm going to say it was a righteous strike. Our intelligence says it was a righteous strike. Then we find out it was some basically humanitarian worker and all their children that died in this strike that we did in Afghanistan. This righteous strike. Did Milley come out and apologize? Did he ever come out and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong? Did you ever hear him say that? Have the leftists ever apologized and said they were wrong for anything? They don't. They won't do that. They move on to the next talking point, the next narrative, the next spin. That's just, in general, it's just politicians do that. But the left is famous for that. Oh, we're going to ignore that. Now we're going to move on to the next thing. Jen Psaki was cornered about this whole thing with the Russian oil. She read a statement that made no sense and then moved on to the next question. Next. And they just dropped it. Like, there were two reporters that tried to continue on with it and they just continued to ignore it. So here we are with this babbling, bumbling, drooling guy that is just at least he doesn't have mean tweets, you know. I think the people in America, I hope that they really see what the state of the union is in terms of the condition of the country right now, the condition that we're in. And I'm really hoping that we don't allow this to continue on. Now, unfortunately, our nation is being flooded with individuals who have no clue what America is, only what they've heard America is, why they still want to come here. From the media we have, this is a terrible racist place, it's racist history, and it's all these terrible things. I'm going to leave, I'm going to go to Canada because this place is terrible. And all these people from other countries that want to come here, we just want to let them in. Let them on in. Yeah, come on in. It's a great place to leave from. You don't see any of these movie stars giving up their homes here. Or, you know, giving them a spare bedroom. Yeah, come on in. Not in my neighborhood, though. You can come on in, but not in my neighborhood. I would, but, you know, I'm busy. Stuff. Nancy Pelosi, you know, somebody poops on her driveway and she's not out there to help anybody. So anyway, I digress. I gotta go to work. I have a big day ahead of me, and I'm probably gonna do a show this. I'm gonna try to do a show this evening if everything goes well. I've got time to do a show this evening. I might try to do a show tomorrow. It's gonna be tomorrow afternoon before I get another show done. Unfortunately, because I've got to spend about 24 hours away. I got to travel, a quick travel thing here. I'll be up in Michigan for a little bit, and so I got to do that. And then I should be back here. Yeah, I'm at my home studio this morning, and I'll be heading out of here. It's garbage day, which is fitting for, you know, the day after the SCOTUS thing. So I'll be doing the garbage. And then I have a little trip to make in Michigan, and then come back tomorrow. And I will be doing another show tomorrow. So good news is the weather is getting better. The global warming is finally kicking in, and we have temperatures above freezing, I think, the rest of this week. Actually, I think it's supposed to get up in the 60s this weekend. I have to leave again this weekend, but at least the weather's going to be warmer. Snow is almost all melted off, which means I can start working on my boat, which is I plan to do at the end of this month. And I'm sure you all need to know that, so that's why I'm telling you. Once again, folks, thanks for listening and subscribing. I've been really surprised at listenership and how it's continued to grow astoundingly. It's been kind of amazing to me. There is a steady group of apparently loyal listeners. And I always want to say I greatly appreciate that. I greatly, you know, even if you just download the podcast just to delete it, it helps my algorithms. Doesn't do anything for my arthritis, but does something for my algorithms. And I'd like to thank you for that. Thank you for subscribing, sharing, commenting, any place you can on, you know, any way you can. I don't see any place where I get comments. I don't know where they are. I don't know where this thing's posted. I know it gets posted on Apple Podcasts. I also know it goes to Spotify. I don't know if there's any way to comment. I really don't know. I know it's supposed to go out on Facebook as well, but I'm not sure if it does or not. I think it's called just my Facebook page is the News According to Me Facebook page. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I don't think the two. Sometimes in some places I've put the two as a number two, the News According to Me. If I put that in a few places, I don't think I did that on, I think that's what I did on Twitter, but I don't even look at Twitter anymore. And I'm not planning on going on Twitter at all. It's just a cesspool. I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to stay here on this podcast thing. And I might try the Rumble thing again this coming month. The March here. I'm going to do maybe a live podcast once a week, possibly twice a week. But I'm also working on starting a new podcast. I had hoped to start it yesterday about conspiracy theories, little stories about conspiracy theories. And then talking about like once a week having a live show. It's just going to be like a 10-minute podcast, quick story thing. And then the once a week show is going to be like 30 minutes. Talk about modern conspiracy stuff that's going on and what's happening with the up-to-date type stuff. That's the plan to do that. We'll see how it works out. I don't know. Yeah. So that's all I've got to say for today. But it is Wednesday, March 2nd at 8:15 a.m. And so I'm actually getting this thing out a little bit earlier than normal. And it's a shorter show than normal, but yeah, get that going for you. I just can't imagine what's going through Joe Biden's head right now. I just have no idea. And I really, it's a dark place to be, I think. But once again, thanks, folks, for listening. And God bless. Be praying for you and praying for our nation. Pray for each other. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the truth to be spoken and respected in our nation once again. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day. God bless.